Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Charleston. Let's give it up for everybody in Charleston. And it's these are big weeks in Charleston. All the Eastern students coming back. If you're at EIU, welcome. We're so glad you're with us today. And Matt Toon, everybody that's here, incredible day. We are in a series called Forge that we're going to dive into in a moment. But before that, I know you've heard this on video announcements, but our groups are right around the corner, and you received a catalog today that has all these opportunities all across Charleston, all across Mattoon, groups that you can meet in. And I want you to prayerfully consider not if you're in a group, but which group you're going to be a part of. And I can tell you, I was talking about somebody in church, and obviously when there's a lot of people at church, sometimes you don't know everyone, so I was trying to introduce someone and saying, oh, and they're like, oh, no, we're in group together, we know each other, and it was like that connection, it was that, oh, I know that person, and that's what happens in groups, is you create these relationships that last, and you get to know one another, and it creates encouragement, it creates some accountability, it creates someone that you can pray for and pray with. You're going to grow closer to God together. We really believe that life change happens in the context of relationships. That's why we really think it's important to move from rows into circles, because circles is where God can really get deep in our lives and start to work. So please consider what group you would be a part of. Most of them will begin right at the beginning of September, which just happens to be right around the corner. So go ahead and take a look at that. We have a station in our lobbies in Charleston and in Mattoon. Just so if you have any questions on how to sign up, who to talk to, anything like that, talk to the person at the group station and they'll help you. So that's really, really important. Let's get into today's teaching. We are in Forged. We've been working our way through Mark all summer long. The back half of Mark was the series called Forged, looking how God wants to create and form and forge us into who he wants us to be. And we're getting toward the very end. So last week we talked about Jesus dying on the cross, and now we're at the place of the resurrection. And I love that. The resurrection of Jesus, what it does do is it's going to build faith and deliver grace into our lives. I'm gonna key on those two things today because it is quite the story. It's an incredible story, and it's a story worth telling over and over and over again. Some of you guys may not know, I got a journalism background. I'm a journalist at heart. I love the idea of a good story. In fact, in Charleston, guys, I used to be the editor-in-chief of the Daily Eastern News. It was the newspaper. It's the newspaper on EIU's campus. And the motto is to tell the truth and not be afraid. And it's amazing that here I am so many years later, I won't say how many years later, but quite a few years later, I am still telling the truth and not being afraid to tell it. And I have a little bit of a skeptic at heart. I'm like the journalist that just doesn't believe anything. And so when I think of the resurrection story, that the skeptic in me says, if I can't see it, I don't know if I'm going to believe it. And my boys will tell you the same thing. It's like, I don't believe anything they tell me usually, unless I really like you're going to have to prove that to me. Like, really? Did that really happen like that, boys? Like, did you really, like, you didn't start that fight kind of a thing? But I want to be able to see it a little bit. I question first, and then I come to the conclusion of, you know, how the story probably played out. And when it comes to the resurrection, that's awesome, because there's so many eyewitnesses, and there's so much story, and there's so much content to say, wow, that the fact that Jesus was killed on that cross, and he was buried, and then he rose again, it's just absolutely exciting. So I want to get into that story, because we are now all the way into Mark chapter 16. There's only 16 chapters in Mark, so we've worked our way all the way through. We'll have half of it this week, and then we'll conclude the entire book next week. So excited about that. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 16. You also you can go to the guide, and you can go to the fields.guide on your phone and follow along there. The scriptures will be on the screens as well. But I want you to know that I get really excited about talking about the resurrection. I mean, it's really great to talk about Jesus dying on the cross because the gift and the sacrifice is amazing. But this is it. Like, this is what everything hinges on. The resurrection is Jesus coming back to life. And what I really get excited about is I get to talk about this not on Easter. Usually it's like we talk about the resurrection at Easter. He's alive, you know. But the problem with Easter is you're worried about what you're wearing. You're worried about the deviled eggs. You're worried about if the ham's going to be in the oven. You got this Easter egg hunt. You got all of this stuff going on. And Easter, to be quite honest, we start to focus a little bit more on the holiday of Easter. And the story kind of gets lost. And so here we are at the end of August getting to talk about the resurrection, and we don't have to worry about eggs, ham, or anything, you know, except now you're hungry because I talked about that. You're like, I wonder what for lunch. But the greatest thing is we really can just dive down into the story. Jesus dies, and he's brought back to life. Now, that's the setting that we're in. That the disciples, Jesus was killed on the cross. They go and they put him in a tomb. The disciples scurry because he obviously was arrested and brutally, you know, tortured and crucified and didn't deserve it. He was perfect. He was sinless. So now you have these disciples going, uh-oh, like what just happened? The bottom fell out. We were with this guy for 3 years. He was our leader. He's the Messiah. He says he's the Son of God. And next thing you know, like, so they leave and they're kind of hiding. They're in hiding, trying to figure out what's next in life. And so after they retreat, and then we get to Sunday morning. So now we're talking like, remember he says he's going to rise 3 days later. We get to Sunday morning, and I want us to read the whole story, the first eight verses of this chapter, and then we'll come back and talk about it. But let's actually just read this story, and we'll go from there. So let's look at this. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, because the Sabbath had ended, so then on Sunday morning at sunrise is when they could actually go and do work, because before that it was the Sabbath and they couldn't do anything. So very early on Sunday morning, as soon as the Sabbath has ended, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Do not be alarmed." Goes on to say, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body." He goes on and says, "Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." Let me finish this story. The women fled from the tomb. They are trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. I just think we need to let this soak in. In fact, I want us to pray for a moment and let this amazing, life-changing, life-giving story of Jesus coming back from the grave to really settle into our souls. Let's pray. Jesus, today of all days, we want to hear this story and understand the full meaning of it and what it means that you conquered death. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that it's the power of the resurrection. It's the power that changes our lives, and it gives us potential, helps us understand that there's greater days ahead. Thank you, Jesus, that your rescue plan is perfect. And God, help us to understand the importance of this resurrection. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a mighty story. It's full of emotion and amazement. I mean, if we really settle in on that day, it's a funeral. And a funeral that then, you know, their funeral is a little different, where you have to go in and you do the burial preparation. And you're going into the tomb. And there's just a lot of emotion that comes into this moment. But then at the end of the story, when it unpacks, there's a lot of excitement and a lot of bewilderment and a lot of, wow, what just happened here? And when I think through the themes of this, there are these two themes of amazing faith and amazing grace. This faith and grace. And first, let's talk about this faith, the faith that builds us up. Faith is so important. The resurrection, it requires you and I to believe in the story. And believe it in a way that it is life-changing. Not just believe in it as like, yeah, that probably happened. Let me tell you this. We cannot be Christians today without believing in the resurrection. You're just part of a club. You're part of a good teaching club. You follow some good advice. You follow good wisdom. But if you don't have belief and faith in the resurrection, then there's no salvation. We're just trying to be good people. And so faith is critically important. So let's take just that little chunk of scripture that says what the angel said. It said, the angel said, don't be alarmed. Now remember, they showed up and they're like, where's he at? And they're trying to figure out on the way, like, what about the tomb and this big stone? Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now this angel is like, there's so much happening here. They're saying, you know you're looking for Jesus. They're picturing Jesus. They'd been with Jesus for a couple years. He was a dear friend. They traveled. They had him in his home. I mean, when they say you're looking for Jesus, all these memories would have came up. And then they would have said, oh, the Jesus that was crucified a couple days ago. And now there's a flood of all these other memories that are much more horrendous because now they're visualizing the crucifixion and the blood and the crown of thorns. And they're visualizing what just happened in the last 48 hours. And it was just a crazy roller coaster for them. And then they have to go and do what they have to do is they have to go get the burial spices and they're thinking about the perfume and they're thinking about, now they're thinking about, man, we got to get in this tomb and like we're not going to be able to move that rock and what are we going to do? Which tells you it's kind of hastily even thought out. It's like they're on their journey and they're like, how are we going to open this thing up? And so it's just kind of this crazy moment and they're trying to rattle in their brain what has happened in the last 48 hours. And then if you really want to think about it, they realize that what they're really going to is the corpse of Jesus. Like that's what they're getting ready to encounter with is a corpse. And so when they get there and he says, don't be alarmed. I'm sorry, go back to scripture. Don't be alarmed. I mean, he's really saying, don't be alarmed. I mean, all the emotions going through him. It's like, who you're looking for? He's not here. He's risen from the dead. And when you start thinking about that, they're like, he's risen from the dead. That one saying, he is risen from the dead, they have a decision to make. Did he really rise from the dead? Did they maybe steal his body? Did someone move him? Was that tomb just like, was it that maybe they gave it to him and rethought it and maybe somewhere else or maybe they had a decision to make. Was the body stolen? Did they move him? Or is he really back to life? And I'm going to tell you what, the back to life option requires a lot of faith. In fact, it takes faith to believe in a risen dead man. It takes a lot of faith to believe that he's really back to life, especially when you witness the crucifixion. I mean, when we just read this story, we're like, yeah, that can happen. I mean, that's what we put our faith in. But they were right there watching him get killed, a brutal, bloody death on a cross. And so it takes a lot of faith to believe that he really is back alive. For them, it takes faith. But for us, let me say this, our salvation hinges on the reality of the resurrection because it's the same power of spiritual transformation in our own lives. If we don't believe in the resurrection, then we don't believe that our lives can change. And if the resurrection doesn't take place and if Jesus doesn't come back to life, then our dead old body's not coming back to life either. So everything hinges on the resurrection. Everything. From death to life, saved. Paul teaches this to the church in Corinth. He has to get them to understand this, that it's not just the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus wasn't just a great role model. Paul is teaching them everything that we taught you about Jesus' death and resurrection is powerful and absolutely needed. He says this in Corinthians. Paul's teaching this young church. He says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you. Now, the gospel was the good news. The gospel is the story. He's saying the gospel is that Jesus came, that he died, and that he rose again, and then now we can be set free, and that we can be reunited with Christ. He's saying the gospel, I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you, which you've received, in which you have taken your stand. Like, we know we believe in this. By this gospel, you're saved, Paul says. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise, you've believed in vain. And so it's by the gospel that we're saved. And if not, then we just believe all this stuff in vain. It's just empty. It just doesn't mean anything. And so Paul's trying to help them understand, without the gospel, remember, they would have known him as the Lamb of God who gave his life, the ultimate sacrifice. And when the Lamb of God gives this ultimate sacrifice and he comes back from the grave, the good news is that there's this great victory over death. Here's what he continues to teach, as he says in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance." This is the most important thing that I can help you guys understand, he says to the church in Corinth, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried in the grave, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and to the 12. He's like, this is the most important thing that you guys can get, that he really died, that he was really buried in the tomb, that he really came back to life, and that he appeared and he showed himself to people. So it is known and it is evident, and that it is a story that you can believe and that you know is true. He says that he showed up to Peter and to the 12. And then he says, actually, there was a lot more eyewitnesses. Take a look at this. Paul goes on to say, after that, then he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. He goes on to say, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And the last, he appeared to me also as the one abnormally born. He's saying, I wasn't born in that set of disciples. Paul came a little bit later. And he's saying, Jesus even showed up for me and talked to me in that vision. And he said, listen, Jesus is alive. And he said, he just kept appearing and appearing and appearing, because the resurrection is key. Jesus had to let everyone know, I'm back. This was real. I told you that I would die as a sacrifice, but I told you I'd come back and show you the way to the Father. The resurrection is the victory over death. And then Paul goes on to say, let's just imagine if it didn't happen. Imagine with me if the story isn't true. And he goes on and teaches this. He goes, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In other words, just showing up at church is absolutely a waste of your time if the resurrection never happened. You might as well just go mow your yard, because it ain't worth it just sitting here. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, if this didn't happen, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then this is just a waste of time. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. We're liars to all friends and family in our story. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. So if this Christ was not brought back from the dead, then we are liars and we're wasting our time. He goes on to say, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. I mean, it's just at a minimum, nothing. You are still in your sins. So not only are we liars, not only are we wasting our time, but if Jesus Christ did not come back from the grave, then we are still guilty of our own sin, which means punishment is eternal hell. And Paul's trying to help us understand the reality and the power of resurrection is so important. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Those who die without Christ are absolutely lost. He's saying, imagine if it didn't happen. And he paints a great picture that imagine if it didn't happen. But if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But, then he says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And so he paints this amazing, he just lays it out. And he says, we absolutely have to embrace the resurrection that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and came back to life. You have to have faith in that story. Now, Mark, of all gospels, tells almost the shortest account. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when it comes to the resurrection story, like Mark's just like, it's the shortest of the gospels too, the least amount of chapters. And he's just straight to the point, but we're getting it. We're like, the resurrection is important. And not only is it important, but there's validity that we can believe in this, because he gives us all of these eyewitnesses and says, and she was there, and she was there, and this is, these people. And in that setting, like we you don't have video surveillance, and you don't have, you have to have, in their culture, eyewitnesses is what was needed to say this is true. And Mark would have known that. The gospel writers would have known that. And so they've included these eyewitnesses to create validity to say this story is true. And in 8 verses, he mentions the names of 3 women in 3 different locations that would have been there during all these seasons of Jesus' death, being buried, and coming back to life. Look at this, at the cross. Some women were there watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome. So at the cross, you have these women. You have Mary, Mary, and Salome. You're saying at the cross, they watched him get killed. Okay, that's important. These ladies watched him die. Then at the grave, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where Jesus' body was laid. Mark chapter 15 says, they saw the grave. They watched, they saw exactly where they put him in the tomb. They watched his corpse get transported into the tomb, wrapped up in burial cloths, sealed up, finale. They watched that happen. And then early on that Sunday morning, the empty tomb. Saturday evening, when Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Those are the ladies then that morning when the sunrise went to the tomb. And so you have Mary, Mary, and Salome. You have these 3 ladies that saw him die, saw him get buried, and saw the empty tomb and saw that he was alive. And why 3 times? Because Mark and the gospel writers are saying, this is not a legend. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a made-up story. This is truth. And I've got eyewitnesses to prove it to you. If the gospel writers needed to prove this to the culture and the society, and they were making this up, in that society, if they were going to be making up the story of the resurrection, the eyewitnesses would have been men, not females, because of the credibility level of that culture. They would not have used women as their eyewitnesses, take a stand and write down and sign your name that you actually saw this. Because in that culture, the male perspective would have been seen as the more important, the more trustworthy. But God's story, so much more beautiful. God's story is, you know what? This is real. This is authentic. This is genuine. These were Jesus' dear friends that were with him during all the stages. And let's share that story. Let's share their story. Their story is true. Their story is accurate. Their story is first account. And then it's up to us to have the faith to believe in it. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we believe? Do you believe? Do you come to church because it's the right thing to do, or you're coming to appease someone, or we come because it's just, it's Sunday morning and it's habit and it's tradition? Or do we embrace and believe that the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, was killed and buried and he rose again? And it's in that faith that we know that we one day will die, but we one day will rise again to be with the Father forever. And that is what we have to believe. That is what our faith is anchored in. We have to believe it. So it's a pretty good question to ask today. Do you believe? I remember when I was dating Joy, her mom was in the hospital for a procedure, and I was in the waiting room. And I've grown up, you know, in church, but there was a season of my life I was like, I don't know if I believe any of this. And I remember sitting there in the waiting room during some kind of a procedure, and I pick up that little New Testament Bible that was sitting on that desk. Remember, I told you I was a skeptic. Remember, I told you I had kind of that journalist heart. I opened up that Bible to read it, to prove it wrong. I read it because Joy's dad was a pastor, and I'm going to show him all the mistakes in it and all the reasons why this is just a bunch of baloney. And so I sat in there in a hospital waiting room, reading the New Testament, rereading the story of Jesus, and all of a sudden the flood of emotion and the flood of the stories from my childhood and going to Sunday school and just reading and knowing these stories, it's just like something just came back to life inside of me where I wanted to be a skeptic and I wanted to prove it wrong. The story of Jesus just resonated in my soul, and I knew that this is legit. The story fueled my faith, even though I was trying to prove it wrong. And so the question is, faith, do we believe? Do you believe today? The second thing we see in this story is grace. Grace. Because now the resurrection story becomes very personal. It's not just a doctrine of salvation, this doctrine of theology that, well, without it, we can't be saved. And we're trying to theologically connect the dots and help you understand the importance of salvation. That's true and needed, and we need to understand without it there is none. But the story of the resurrection is also very personal, and it delivers so much grace. Remember what the angel said to the ladies. He said this: "Now go and tell the disciples." So Jesus' body is gone. He said that he's risen, that he came back to life. And this is what he says. He goes, "Now go and tell the disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before." Now, why are like, what do you mean including Peter? Now, remember, a couple of days before, Peter is denying Jesus. Peter is saying, I don't even know that person. He was denying Jesus to a little teenage girl when Jesus is being arrested and going through all the trials. You know, and they're like, "Hey, you're some of the Jesus' people. You're with him. You're the Galileans." And Peter goes, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know that guy." And he just, this denial. And remember, he says, "You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And so in the morning, you know, here crows the rooster, because is there a rooster? That would be a cross mix of a crow and a rooster. So if you have a crow and a rooster, you get a rooster. So I don't know. It's science, I'm sure. I learned that at the fair this summer. No, I'm kidding. So it says, picture this with me. Everybody is hiding. And the last thing Peter did was say, I don't even know this guy. Jesus comes back to life. And the message from the angel is, go tell the disciples and make sure Peter's there. Jesus really wants to talk to him. Make sure Peter's there. These guys were on the run. These disciples were hiding. These disciples were scared. They're frustrated. And what we see is grace, not anger. Grace, not condemnation. Grace, not frustration. Gosh, I was with these guys for 3 years, and now they're hiding, and I told them so many times I was going to die and come back, and they don't get it, and, you know, no shame on you. No, I can't believe you guys. Or, man, I picked the wrong 12. You know, no. Hey, can you make sure Peter's there too? Because I love those guys. Because Jesus is excited to be with them, and Jesus is excited to be with you. Like, he wants relationship with us. Yeah, we mess up. Yeah, sometimes we doubt. Yeah, sometimes there's frustration. Yeah, sometimes we do things that God shakes his head and goes, "I've told you guys not to do that." But instead of, "Hey, cowards," running, we get, "Hey, can you guys meet me?" Not, he didn't say, "Why'd you guys run?" He didn't say, "Shame on you." He goes, I want to I want to see you. I want to be with you. That is so, how many of us walk through life with that God just says, shame on you? And so we walk through life with our head down going, God just is mad at me for everything I do. And I want you to know God is not saying shame on you, and he's not mad at you. He's saying, I want to be with you. Peter denied him 3 times and he's still saying, hey, make sure Peter's there. Make sure Peter is there. That's like saying, hey, make sure Tom's there. Make sure Betty's there. Make sure Travis is there. I know they might question, you know, how close we are, and they might think I'm mad, but just make sure, hey, make sure Debbie's there today. Make sure Sally's there today. Make sure Mike's there today. Just make sure. It's like Jesus is telling us today, like, just, hey, it's okay. Make sure they're there because I want to be with them. Because grace is, even though we've messed up, grace is, I still want to be with you. And that's the power of the resurrection. Right after the resurrection, he actually meets with Peter and he says, I have plans for you. That's amazing. He didn't say shame on you. He goes, I got plans for you. You're going to be called the rock. You're going to start the church. You're going to be the one that leads this thing. So instead of saying shame on you, he goes, I believe in you. And can we hear that today? I believe in you is what God says to us. I believe in you. It's very personal. It's a very personal story. Matthew tells another little angle of it that I want us to see. Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 and 9 says this. So the disciples, so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took a hold of his feet and they worshiped him. Remember, these guys were on the run. These guys were hanging their head. These guys were frustrated. I think I'll just go fishing again. I don't know. What's going to happen to my family? Are the high priests going to come and arrest us too? I mean, there's just so many emotions right now, and they're leery of even identifying with each other. And Jesus comes in and it's so personal. And in the midst of there, what are we going to do? He shows up and he goes, hi. Hey guys, hey, greetings, I'm back. And immediately this personal connection happens, and what do? They take a hold of his feet and they worship him and they're like, our Lord, our Savior. And Jesus shows up. Imagine yourself sitting there. Imagine being fearful and doubtful and in unbelief and mad and lonely and all of the emotions of discouragement and wondering about what's next. And Jesus shows up and he goes, hey guys, hi. Like, it's okay. It's okay what you're experiencing. So maybe some of you have kind of ran away from your faith at times. Maybe sometimes you've been discouraged. Why do bad things happen to good people? And you're like, I don't understand it. I don't know why they're going through that. I don't know why I'm going through this. Maybe you've denied him like Peter among some friends. I don't really know him. I'm not one of those kind. I'm not one of those kind of Christians. Maybe you've locked yourself up in a room and said, I just want to get away from it all for a moment. Because that's what the disciples were doing. And in that very moment, after the resurrection, Jesus shows up and says, hey guys, let's meet. Let's get together. We're back. You see, it takes faith in Jesus being back alive. And then he delivers the grace that we need to pick our heads up and say, we're all in this together. There's nothing that we've done in our past so much that Jesus doesn't look and say, I love you guys. I love you. The story of the resurrection is the power of new life in us. And he breathes life into us. He breathes life. Imagine if we embraced that for ourselves today. Imagine if we embrace the fact that he is alive and he loves us and he has a plan for us. And he looks at you and he goes, I believe in you. I believe in 2020, 21, 22. I believe in your future. I believe in the destiny. I believe in what you can do. I believe in the impact you can have in people's lives. That's what he's saying to them. And it's all because he came back to life. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Paul says this to Rome, the church in Rome. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, listen to this, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Raised from the dead, he will give you life. Just how Jesus was raised from the dead, he goes, that is the same way that you will receive life. Receive life. This is a life-giving message. This is a life-giving story. The resurrection is about life. And it's an incredible opportunity for us to embrace that and to believe in that and to know that the resurrected life of Jesus is the resurrected life for us. See, some of us may seem we're kind of distant from God, and we come in today and you're like, I need to have faith. And I would say, yes. Yes, you do. Just believe. Believe that God sent his son to die for you. Not only did he die for you, that he came back to life. And then receive the grace that it doesn't matter what your past has been, mistakes that you've made, that when he came back, he looked at his disciples and he said, let's get together. I believe in you. And that's what he wants for us today. If you feel far from God, could you just simply just say a quick prayer to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm ready to come home and I believe in you. If we believe in our heart that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us and come back from the grave, and we confess that and believe in that, Paul tells the church in Rome, and that's salvation. It's this belief that Jesus died and came back to life. And we believe that, and we live that out. We confess that. And that's what we need. Let us soak that in. Why don't we all stand up? In all locations, Charleston, stand up with us. Mattoon, stand up. And let's let this settle in. The resurrected life is a gift for you. And I want you to receive that today. At both locations, we're going to pray. Pastor Tim's going to come out in Charleston, and we're going to pray here. And I just want you to close your eyes and just let this soak in, that Jesus came back to life, and that's the life that gives us life. Let's pray.